Ladies and gentlemen, live by this saying, vulnerability creates connectivity. Vulnerability creates connectivity. I don't want to work with someone who hasn't gone through the struggle. I don't want to put my money with somebody that hasn't failed. Warren Buffett says it best. He will never invest in a business owner that hasn't failed at least three times. This is my fourth company. I failed in construction. I failed in the clothing business, and I failed in a consulting business. This is our fourth company that we've done over the years.
Yeah.
Finally, we're getting it right because I've learned how to let go.
Welcome to the Learn It All podcast with your hosts, Learn It CEO, Damon Lemby, and SVP of Product, Darren Bridget. Our mission is to explore how continuous growth shapes the path to success. Our guests are high achievers who've learned there's always something new to discover. They'll share their stories, strategies, and insights with you. So whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, an aspiring athlete, or simply someone who believes in the lifelong pursuit of knowledge, this podcast is for you. Join us now for the latest episode as we continue the Learn It All's journey through a world that never stops teaching.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Learn It All podcast. We are Damon Lemby, CEO of Learn It, Darren Bridget, VP of Product, and we are joined today by Marquez Ogden. Marcus, did I say it right?
You did.
Second time.
The second time. Marcus Ogden has joined us. Let me sing the praises of Marcus before we get into it. Marcus is a former NFL player. He's a founder and CEO of Ogden Ventures, LLC. Focuses on keynotes, speaking, business coaching, consulting. He's a three-time best-selling author and host of Get Authentic with Marcus Ogden podcast. He's all about authenticity and overcoming adversity. And if you're tuning in today, that's what we're going to be focusing on. It's basically, how can you overcome adversity? How can you find your authentic self and use that to be successful in your personal and professional life? Welcome.
Thanks for joining.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Damon, how are you, sir?
Marcus, for those of you who don't know, Marcus and I are good buddies. I was on his show, Learn It sponsors his show. I'm really excited. I've been looking forward to this for weeks. So thank you for carving out time. I know that you're a very busy gentleman, so it's great to see you, buddy.
Well, you know what, my friend? You're never too busy for your friends. And the minute you start thinking that you're too busy for your good friends, then in my eyes, you're in trouble. That's just how I live my life. I'm like, if you're a good friend of mine, you want my time, hey, my time is your time.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us. And speaking of sharing, you've got an amazing story with some adversity and all kinds of ups and downs. Can you take us a little bit through your journey to get to this place where you become this really in-demand speaker? And maybe we'll spend a little more time, you know, as we get to it too, on that adversity piece, but give us an overview.
Yeah. So I'm from Washington, D.C. I went to St. John's College High School, the same high school that Kevin Plank, who co-founded Under Armour, went to The Hybrid University and played football for the Bison. My father, Sherrill Ogden, went and played for the Bison. From there, I went to the National Football League. I was drafted by the Jaguars and head coach Jack Del Rio. He was one of my most phenomenal, most inspirational, most sophisticated leaders I've ever played for as a coach. He was a former player, played at USC and with the Vikings, was a kick-ass coach, and just a great guy. And learned a ton in the NFL, played with great guys like my brother, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, to Willis McGahee, Fred Taylor, Michael Griffin. I can name all these phenomenal guys. And what I learned in the NFL, to be able to be successful, you have to be your own CEO. And Jack Del Rio talked about that when I was a 22-year-old rookie. And he said, most of you won't make it, not because you don't have the talent to make it, but you're not going to have the drive to push through the hard days of two-a-days, of going against the veterans who may not like you very much in the beginning, of having to prove yourself because you're not in college. The veterans don't care what you did at Ohio State, Michigan, Howard, Bethune-Cookman, doesn't matter. They want to see you come to the Jaguars and these other teams and compete. For example, I had a phenomenal call with one of the NFL team's great guys. He is their director of player engagement. We were chatting about what would I love to tell the players of his team if they were to hire me? And I told him, I said, man, I would love to talk about how that you as a player today need to work like the players of old. You need to have that attitude that I'm not just going to be handed. And here's the thing, like, you know, NIL, all these things, and I, hey, lads, if you can make money, that's great. Not saying that's a bad thing. But what needs to happen, if you make money in college, high school, whatever, that's great. But come to the NFL, whatever sport you play, with that humble attitude, I'm going to work my butt off. What I did in high school, what I did in college, what I made in high school, what I made in college, that means nothing. Work hard. And that's what I learned in the NFL. So from there, got out, I struggled immensely. I got hooked on alcohol, addiction, nightlife, women, gambling, things really, really bad. I then founded Caden Premier Enterprises, which was our construction company. Grew it to an 8-figure-a-year business. And then unfortunately, as the company grew, my bravado, my desire to feel I was always right, my desire to feel I was always the best grew just as big with it. And it cost me some great employees. It cost me some great structure. It cost me a lot of money. And that with a really, really bad job, I went bankrupt in 2013, February, March. And I had to move to Raleigh in April 2013 with only $400 to my name. Got here, had a couple different jobs, fired from two jobs in the same week. I had to work as a custodian downtown Raleigh. And I tell everybody, everybody in life has had a rock bottom moment. Everybody. The question is, did you learn from the rock bottom moment? And I had mine as a custodian. I call it my spoiled milk moment. Somebody's trash, rotten meat, nasty, horrible smelling garbage got all over me. Yep. September 2013. And I made the decision after cleaning myself up and crying for about 10 minutes that I need to turn my life around with accountability, responsibility, and aligning what I want to do on the inside with what I'm going to do on the outside. I said, let's start speaking. Started speaking. Didn't get a paid job for 2.5 years. Yeah. Got my first paid job in April 2016. Got coached, got developed, grew it. I've been speaking now for so many organizations, you name it. But then I got hit again with adversity when I had to file for divorce in July of 2022, unexpectedly. I got hit with it even harder when I was forced to move out of my home and go into an apartment for 7.5 months. The apartment was dark. It was dingy. It was outdated. But I didn't have much of a choice. We made a deal and I had 2 weeks to get out. That's all I had. Found a place, was in a bad place. Finally, January 2023, overcame that mindset of negativity. I had a mindset shift. I got myself back on track. I worked hard. I developed myself. And now I bought my dream home about 8.5, 9 months ago, May of 2023. Business is booming. I'm out dating again. I'm trying to get my life back. I'm co-parenting. I'm doing all these things. But my point is, everybody, this guy said, oh my God, you spoke of all these companies. That's got to be amazing. How's your life? It's got to be phenomenal. Well, not really. I mean, I had to go through a divorce. I had to give up half my assets. I had to pay a lot of debt. I had to move into a two-bedroom, dirty, dingy apartment. I had to start over. And people don't understand. Like, that's life. Life is just not going to say, hey, right, Darren, right, Damon. That's just not going to stay straight line. It's not.
No, he's going to plan, right, Marcus?
If you're not going to be ready to be strategically agile and pivot when necessary, you will never reach your full potential in life, period.
It's a great story. And one of the things I appreciate about in the story that you just shared right there too, and we talked about this a little beforehand, is your willingness to share the failures. Because it's so easy, especially this social media, Instagram world, like everybody kind of hides their failures all the time. And look at me, everything's great all the time. And you don't have that mindset and you don't coach people that way either too. You've got to be willing to take some chances, make some mistakes, learn from them with those mistakes and be essentially authentic. So,
well, I mean, here's the thing, right? In life, you have to take measured decision chances and do measured decision making, right? When I was fired from both jobs in the same week, everybody said, Marcus, just go do football. Go coach. Go do what you need to do. You're in Ogden. go get a high school job and maybe work with ranks to college and then maybe try to go from there and progress. And you know what? I tell everybody, that is really an awesome thing if you think, but I know what it's like. I don't want to be working, you know, 13, 14 hour days, you know, 8, 9, 10 months of the year with only really 1 month off. I don't want to be traveling out, recruiting, going places. I don't want that. I had a young child. My daughter was just born. And I did work at Campbell University as an offense defense analyst for Coach Mike Minter, who played at Nebraska and played for the Panthers, was a phenomenal strong safety. And I remember when Mike called me actually on my birthday. I've never talked about this on the podcast before. On my birthday, Mike texted me. He said, "Hey, how are you, man?" I thought he was texting me happy birthday. I'm like, "Man, Coach knows my birthday. That's awesome." He said, "Happy birthday. Oh, and by the way, I need a kick-ass O-line coach to come and get these guys in order and get them ready to roll and play. You're my guy. You want to come coach me at Campbell?" That was 2021 November. And I said, you know what? Speaking was going well, but no, it was still challenging and some things were happening in my marriage. So it's kind of like, this could be a good thing for me. But I was like, you know, no, that's not for me. And, you know, I don't want that. I don't want to go that route. And anything that you're going to have to really get in life, you're going to have to work for, right? I've been speaking for now, what, 10 and a half years? Nothing came easy. Nothing. Not my first job, not my first paid job, not my first consulting job, not my first, you know, sponsor of the podcast. I mean, Damon sponsors our podcast, which is going phenomenal. Damon and I talk weekly. Hey, yep. Damon, here's this athlete, here's that athlete. You know, we really deliver that service to our sponsors and to our partners and to our clients. But I just didn't want to go that route. So my point is that in life, you're going to have to make some decisions. And again, nobody, almost nobody, thought I would be successful as a speaker. They said, "Marcus, this is not for you. You don't have the talent. You don't have what it takes. You know, you don't have the story. You don't know how to read people." I mean, I heard it all. I just kept going and going. And now here we are speaking for all these. I've worked for 55 plus Fortune 500 brands in 8 years, 15 Fortune 100, best-selling author, podcast host, you name it. But I've also been a guy that's made no money. I've been a guy that's broke. I've been a guy that's had to move into an apartment when he really didn't want to. I was a guy that was really, this is 2022 December, who had a horrible Christmas. I was more like the Scrooge in the Grinch. And then I didn't want to be around anybody, right? So life is just not easy. I mean, like, there's a lot that goes through this. So again, if you're listening, you have to learn to pivot and be agile and be strategic in your movement.
Yeah. Marcus, I got a question. I have so many questions for you, even though we're buddies and we've talked about a lot of this. But when that call came in from Campbell and you were offered this really good job, a lot of people, especially in the situation you're at that time, would just jump at it. But you knew it wasn't what you wanted to do. What advice do you have for our listeners who may be in a similar situation where they're struggling, maybe they're dealing with imposter syndrome? This opportunity comes along. It's not really what they want, but how do they have the courage to do what you did? Say no, because saying no by itself is very difficult to stay focused on what you wanted to do.
So what I tell people is the offer that you're receiving in full alignment with your vision and your long-term strategy. If the answer is yes, then you go for it. The answer is no, don't go near it. Because here's the thing, right? God is awesome. He gives us so much. But one thing he gives us is free will. We make our own choices. And so Campbell was a great opportunity right there in my face. But it didn't align with my long-term vision. It didn't align with my long-term goals. I coached when I got here trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And then I coached there and I realized there was a lot of things that I didn't like about coaching. The politics, the hours, the things that were needed. I was just not willing to. I love to teach the game, but I didn't want to deal with all the other stuff. So it wasn't a good fit for me. And speaking really was always in alignment with my long-term vision as soon as I realized after hitting rock bottom that I was my biggest enemy and that I caused my failure and my demise. And once I accepted that, I said, I want to help others succeed in life where I failed. I want to help others have triumph where I had failure. And I want to help others move strategically, successfully, where I stumbled, fell, and fell flat on my face. So everything I'm doing now is in alignment with my vision of helping others, not just a certain group of people. It's the masses, speaking, coaching, consulting, podcasting, going on podcasts, brand ambassador, you know, all these things, helping people get on great shows like this. That's what the alignment with what I want for myself for the long haul.
But people also have to understand and be self-aware of, look, I might want to be the lead singer of The Killers, but I don't have the talent to do so. You know, you have to be self-aware as well to make sure that your passion is something that you can be good at, right? That you can actually make money at.
You have to, what I tell people all the time is, okay, you have to support yourself, right? So if I wanted to go out and be Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen, right? And I can't do that. I can't be Usher up there jamming on stage for the Super Bowl, crushing it. I can't do that, right? I can't be Lil Wayne rapping. I can't do that. So what I tell people is, number one, figure out what you want to do, right? Vision-wise. Number two, do you have any sort of skill sets in that vision to actually make money from it? Three, are you willing to do the work that's necessary to get to where you want to get to if you are aligned vision-wise and you have the talent? Because talent's not enough. It's not. It's not enough. You know, I'm a talented speaker. Yes, I've learned over the years how to craft my story, but I don't just sit back and say, oh, I'm a talented speaker, hire me, thank you, or go somewhere, okay, everybody, here I am, you know, come bring me all the offers for speaking. Yeah, I'll talk to you here, No, man, it is work. Our team puts out content, newsletters, blogs, our podcast, me going on podcasts, outreach. Yeah, I tell you before, right, Dan, I'm on this Patch product, which is amazing. I'm doing a Zoom tonight from 8:30 to 9. Usually I play poker on Thursday. I don't have my daughter, right? But you know what? This is work-related. I love the patches. It's turned my life around, giving me more energy, more clarity, more focus. So I got to take a little time to help do what? Talk about it to people who are maybe thinking about doing it, but they haven't done it yet. So maybe a guy like me who's doing on day 25, saying I'm feeling great and I'm feeling phenomenal, and here's where I'm at, will help people, right? But at the end of the day, you gotta do what you know you have skills at, you know that you can financially take care of yourself, and three, do you have the drive, right? Do you have the grit? You know what I mean? Do you have, for example, Carl Weathers passed away, Apollo from Rocky. He was a phenomenal football player, played for the Raiders, and he talked about getting that shot with Rocky and how that helped him get his career launched. Same thing Dolph Lundgren said, when he got hired for Rocky IV. Then Rocky IV, he did He-Man, and he did The Punisher, and then from there, he became a name, and he started doing Expendables and all this stuff. Is he a phenomenal actor? No. Is he a good actor? Yeah. Yeah. How is like Dolph Lundgren in his movies? Yeah. I mean, he like Red Scorpion. I mean, he does, and again, you said it, right, Damon? He sticks to what he's good at. Red Scorpion, The Punisher, he is that action actor, and he made a name for himself, but it started with him. He even said going to that audition and doing the best he could to stand out for the character. He did it, and he stepped out of his comfort zone, and he tried to act with a Russian accent. He's actually Swedish, and by doing so, it won over Sylvester Stallone and the cast, and boom, he gets put in as Drago. Bam, he goes off to have a phenomenal career in what he does. Same story.
That's good. So, Marcus, it seems like following your passion, but combining that with understanding what your lanes are. So there's kind of like a realistic approach, but you're still letting your passions drive you, you know, like what you want to do, which gives you the ability to say no and stay focused. Along the way, you don't get a degree in what you're doing in school. You kind of have to figure that out in the real world. And I'm getting the sense that you would place a lot of value on learning from your experience, like lived experience. My background is an actor. We always could say it like you learn on the boards, which is like learning on stage instead of just in a classroom somewhere. You learn by doing. You also had to learn some stuff to do this. So speaking of learning, where did you go look for help to do the career that you're doing now?
So it's very interesting. So I started speaking in September 2013. Got our first paid job in April 2016. And I'll never forget Andre Collins, who was and still is my mentor. Andre played in the NFL, played at Penn State, played with the Washington Redskins, now Commanders, Chicago Bears, was a great outside linebacker. Andre was head of the Retired Player Foundation in DC. And he said, Marcus, there is this program called NAPSA, National Athletic Professional Success Academy. And it's having an inaugural program. They have requested 7 former players. You were the first one they wanted to have come to the program. And I told Andre, I said, Andre, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm not going to go. He said, Marcus, you need to go. You're good, but you're not great. I said, Andre, I appreciate it. I just can't take time away. And I said, Marcus, look, you go to the place, give it your all, do well, graduate, I'll hire you to come and speak for us in Miami and do a job for us to tell your story. And if you do that, and then we can move forward. And I said, Andre, fine. Went to the program. Best thing I ever did. As a matter of fact, I still even have, give me one moment. I got this binder in 2018. When I came back, we moved 5 or 6 times between, we went to a townhome, then we were trying to buy a house, then that fell through, then I had to move back to my in-laws, and then we moved from my in-laws back to my rental townhome, then we bought a townhome, then I moved out of that when I left to the crappy apartment, then I left that to go to my dream home. This binder is still with me everywhere I go.
I love
it. This is my NAPSA binder, and NAPSA taught me how to turn my okay average career into where it is now, where it's continuing to go. I learned from this book how to take my football skill sets, my past lingo, my knowledge, and turn it into corporate lingo, how to relate to people, how to do business. And if you're listening to this and you want to be successful in life and in business, if you can't speak people's language to make them feel comfortable that you can deliver what they're looking for, you will starve. And I was starving because I was talking, but it was in a language that people weren't comfortable with to pay me any type of real money. Yeah. Now they're comfortable because I know that I can not only am I hardworking, am I diligent, am I going to see things through, but I can talk your language. I understand you. You understand me. Let's work together.
Marcus, I got a question for you. This is kind of random, but you did a keynote. You came out to San Francisco and you did a keynote for my friend's company and absolutely crushed it. And I got a lot of text messages, but one that kind of stood out was from my friend Britt. And he said, Damon, Marcus knew everybody's name in the room. And he's like, it shocked it. It made everybody feel really good. Do you have a tip for us speakers out there or just people in general? How do you remember, in that case, like 60, 70 people's names?
So what I do is I have a really good memory. And when I hear people and I see what they're and I see something, what they're saying, what they're wearing, and I hear who they are and they tell me, boom. And then when I ask people, hey, what is your name? Every time I talk to somebody, that is how we start out building that trust. Okay. And so building relationships plus building trust equals loyalty. And when you're working with people, especially the type of intimate group that we did, that was a great event that was put on, phenomenal. The more you actually connect with people through saying their name and not just saying, hey, you, or ha ha, or hey, this, or hey, that, you know, it makes them feel special. I did a job in Minneapolis with about 200 people. I didn't remember everybody's name, but I remember what everybody talked about. Like people talk about, well, I want to see this. I want to see the sun or the beach. I want to go to Vail and ski. Or one of the guys like, well, I want to go to the cabin and have nature and peace. And so I remembered what people were talking about that made them feel in their serenity or their happy place. And it's interesting, when I got divorced and moved into my new development, I live in a place called Serenity, which is crazy. And I live on Serendipity Drive, which is even crazier. And so as a result, I've learned how to really connect with people by just doing that little thing like, hey, who are you? What's your name? What do you like? And it's that little bit of thing. And then from that, I put it in my mind. And then from there, I just always know when I speak to somebody at an event, either who they are, what they like, or what really gets them excited.
It's amazing. It's something I need to get better at, having failed immediately and getting your name wrong in the beginning, which I'm still embarrassed about. But anyway, moving on. So a couple of things that seem interesting to me with the people that you work with, because you do a lot of coaching and consulting. You're in the business world, come from the sports world. Because you're authentic and you're willing to share your own experiences and be vulnerable with people, because you take a very curious, real interest in people, and like you just described, learning what they're all about, I think that people must open up to you pretty well. So all of a sudden, you're in this corporate world coaching people and they're kind of opening up and being really honest. I guess I'm curious, from your background, what are you seeing in the business world these days? How do you, if you're like taking the temperature of the business world at this moment in time, what are people struggling with? What do you, without obviously giving away anything personal, just kind of
general? I mean, people are struggling with, this is a good question, Dan. People are struggling with making money. Yeah. They really are. I mean, it's hard out here. It really is. And I tell people all the time, if I would have started my company like 2019, 20, wow, it'd be a lot different right now. Because people want to spend money, but you have to go the umpteenth above and extra mile to prove the value that you're going to bring. That's going to far exceed the price point that you're charging. So people right now are really and truly struggling to make money. I have clients that are realtors in the mortgage business, construction, restaurant, memorabilia, all these. It's really tough.
People are just feeling squeezed, huh?
They're getting squeezed. Yeah. Getting squeezed. And I tell people, and if you're listening, really, really put this to heart and action. Marketing is the most important factor you need to do for any business. That's why I love doing podcasts. It's another form of marketing. But listen to this. And one of my clients told me this on Monday. And she's 100% right. She heard it at a conference. Right now, you need to be marketing the first half of this year. Once the second half of the year comes and the election comes into play, people are going to get drowned out by political messaging, everything, all the time, everywhere. So your marketing will not go as far in the second half of the year as it will now. So if you have the ability to get on podcasts, media, get out there, put out content, do it now and get out there now. Because again, it's only going to get harder to make money as we get into the last half of the year, when your marketing won't be as much seen, won't be as much heard. And from there, you're fighting to what? Get that eyeball on your product.
That is, Marcus, that is a great point that I didn't really think about, but that is a great point. Question for you. You just mentioned, you know, how people are struggling, right? And that's true. One of the things I was thinking about is, guys like me and you, we're open. We're not afraid to just say what it is, right? But there are some people I coach, mentor, and just people I know in general who are so guarded, you know, and so private, and they're so worried about what other people think. And a lot of times I think that that really limits their ability to learn and grow. What do you recommend for those people to become? How do you become more vulnerable? How do you let your guard down and not be afraid, especially when you're struggling, to ask for help or ask for advice? I know too many people who are afraid to do that because it makes them, they feel like they're going to be weak if they do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, live by this saying. We have a keynote on this. Vulnerability creates connectivity. Vulnerability creates connectivity. I don't want to work with someone who hasn't gone through the struggle. I don't want to put my money with somebody that hasn't failed. Warren Buffett says it best. He will never invest in a business owner that hasn't failed at least three times. This is my fourth company. I failed in construction. I failed in the clothing business. And I failed in a consulting business. This is our fourth company that we've done over the years.
Yeah.
Finally, we're getting it right because I've learned how to let go. I've learned how to, when you hire somebody, you have to trust them. One of my team members said, Marcus, she used to work at my house on Thursday. Hey, Marcus, something happened at my other job. She does some part-time work at a salon. There's some issues at the salon. Can I work from home? I need to go into the salon at 2:00. I said, absolutely. Just do what you do. You've been with me for years. Take care of it. If you need me, text me. If you're not, then I'll talk to you later on. No big deal. My virtual assistant, same thing. My podcast production people, same thing. You know, my people to help with my podcast. Everybody, same thing. Same thing, right? It's like in a relationship. If you try to be a controlling person mm-hmm. to a spouse, mm-hmm. it's going to push them away. Mm-hmm. I try to control everybody at Caden. Then she got tired of it, pushed away, right? Mm-hmm. In life, I see people try to control people. They've been pushed away. And now when I'm leading people and owning our business, if you're on my team and I'm paying you, I don't need to be on top of you. I don't need to be like, what are you doing? What have you done? I'll see it. I know what you're supposed to be doing. I have a list and you have a list of things to get done, but you know, I can check a list. I know what needs to what stuff has been done, but I can see everything, right? As a leader, you need to see everything, but not speak on mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm.
See it. Yeah. You don't have to speak on it, right? And so again, vulnerability creates connectivity. The more vulnerable you are, the better off you're going to be. Look at all the great speakers. Les Brown, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, John Maxwell, Brendan Burchard. I can go down the list. All these guys and girls, all these phenomenal people. They're open about their failures. Mm-hmm. They are, right? They really are. And when you see them today, they're very, very successful and fulfilled, but it took them years to get there. You don't see that. And yeah. so you're like, oh, I want to be like Robbins. I'm like, okay, well, that's great. Do you want to go through what Tony went through? I want to be Marcus Hogan. Okay. You want to live in a nice house? Got it. Do you want to go through having $400 in your bank account? Not sure if you can make next month's bills, having to go to a food pantry and eat out of a food pantry. Do you want to talk about how you have to, like, when you go to a store, you have to pray that the credit card or the bank card. I mean, I remember that. I remember when I was moving down here to Raleigh and leaving Baltimore, my ex-wife would call me, the credit cards didn't work. This didn't work. You know, it's maxed out. And I would call the credit card company and then move $100 so we could buy groceries. And then she'd run it again to get done. Or there, but there's times I remember where we couldn't run it. We couldn't run it. And somebody behind her actually paid for her groceries because we couldn't afford it. Yeah. I remember that. I've been there. You know what I mean? So I know what it's like.
Yeah.
So again, ladies and gentlemen, vulnerability creates connectivity.
And learn, and I heard what you said in there too. It's you got to learn how to let go.
Yeah.
Let go and not be afraid to ask for help or advice because you can't know everything all the time.
This all feels like it kind of connects to the idea of authenticity, which is one of those big banner ideas for you because that's being real. It's like, that means that you're willing to own the whole story, not just share the parts that you want to share. And a lot of people, like, authenticity sounds good. People say, yeah, I want to be authentic. But it sometimes it gets passed around like just a word without people really grabbing a hold of what it means. And so for you, what is it about authenticity and what makes it so powerful for people to lean into? I have one teeny little follow-up to that, which is I think sometimes people with authenticity think that it means I'm going to be real, but then that also means I can be however I want to be. Like, I don't have to, as long as I'm authentic, doesn't mean I don't have to improve anymore.
Oh. Authenticity is being who you are in the moment, mm-hmm. knowing the moment is going to change. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You ask, it's interesting, right? You know, I got into it with my ex-wife. We had a little disagreement and I told my sister, I still have love for my ex-wife. We were married for 7 years, with her for 10, and I still do love her. Now I told my sister, said, look, don't ask me how I feel about her right now because it's not going to be a good answer. Because we got into a fight and that, you know, that's what it is, but that's how it is. And you ask people how I feel about her today. She's fine. She's great. And we have no, you know, so it's not the same, you know, authentically, how was I in the apartment? Crappy, upset, mad every day, hating life. Why me? Poor me. In my house, blessed, grateful, all that. Doesn't mean I wasn't blessed or grateful when I was in my apartment, but that's not how I was feeling. That was not my primary feeling at the time, because I was so overshadowed by the negativity, the darkness, the obstacles. I couldn't see past that.
Yeah.
Now I'm more grateful. I have appreciation. I'm in my house right now. There's one, two, there's five. There's eight windows on the first floor of my house. I have a big master skylight. I bought a 3,100 square foot home by myself after being forced to move out of my home 7.5 months after having to file for divorce in July. I moved out November 1st. So authenticity is not about saying, oh, I feel great all the time or this all the time. Well, no, that's not true, right? What it is feeling and knowing how you are in the moment and being honest with yourself in that moment and not trying to cover it up, not trying to be something just to appease others. And that was a big problem I had in my marriage. I was constantly trying to appease others, my ex, her family, her parents, her friends, trying to fit in, trying to let things go, trying to do this. And I changed and I lost who I was. I did. I lost who I was. And it's not her fault. It's my fault. It's my fault. Yeah. And maybe if I would have stood my ground, maybe we'd still be married today. I don't know. But you know what? I wasn't authentic. I was in the moment being somebody that I thought that she wanted me to be so I could have a happy marriage. And the problem was I turned who I really was off and I never cut it back on until I left. And now where I'm at, much happier. And again, I'm not a controlling person. Do you. You know what I'm saying? Do you. Have a great life. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Do you. And we'll be friends. What doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to control anybody. This is your life. But if you want to be part of my life, don't try to change me.
Yeah.
That's all I ask. Right? Mark, you're going to be great friends. Just don't try to change me. I won't try to change you. We'll get along great.
Yeah.
Marcus, speaking of authentic, and I want to get this in because I know we're going to come up on time soon. You have one of the top podcasts in the world called Get Authentic. And I know one of the services, and this is a little bit from a selfish perspective, but one of your new services that you do is helping other people launch their podcast, right? Can you talk to us a little bit? One, first of all, listeners, you got to check out Get Authentic. That's an amazing podcast. But can you tell us a little bit, and you can talk about what your podcast if you want, but I'm curious about your podcast services that I know that you're out working with people on.
So we have a podcast profit workshop that you can sign up for if you're trying to start a podcast, grow a podcast, sustain a podcast, and most importantly, monetize a podcast. Now, if you have a bunch of money, you're doing a podcast for a hobby, phenomenal. Most people are not like that. 75% of people never make it past episode 10 because they burn out, nobody's listening, and they just throw it in the towel. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, nothing's going to come that quick. Nothing. Nothing. So in the Podcast Profit Workshop, we teach you how to market, how to scale, how to, if you don't have a production team, you can buy part of the package and get production services from our awesome partner, Multiformat Network. If you're wanting to scale the podcast for branding, marketing, digitizing, funnels, copy, all that, my partner Victor is the master at scaling. I'm the guy that helps you with how to create questions, how to get guests, how to get ratings, how to get reviews, how to line up your stuff, how to make sure that you're staying on consistency, you're staying on schedule. And again, right, Dame, it's about helping you to be able to also close sponsors. There's a secret weapon that everybody has. I don't care if you're a starting out podcast or you're Joe Rogan. We all have this secret weapon, but 99% of podcasters don't use it. And because of that, they don't monetize. So we have the Podcast Profit Workshop. It's looking just for coaching on how to grow a podcast from like, you know, what I do, then I have a program for that if you don't need the scaling part. But most people that come to us neither eat all of it, which is production, the branding, scaling, and how to run a show. And some people just need like the branding, scaling, and how to run a show. And if you just want to help on how to run a show, you can hit me up for that as well. But again, we are dedicated to helping people sustain and launch and grow a podcast. And especially, right, Damon, monetize a podcast. Because a podcast if you're not getting money, it could be a very expensive hobby.
Yeah. And I assume part of the launching, because I think some people just want to know where to start and what the podcast should be about, right? So I assume you help them with their true north, yes, or their north, yes, star.
One of our clients, Damon, just started, had his shot his first podcast yesterday. His podcast is called Wealth and Whiskey. And he's a client, and he just had his first interview yesterday. I'm proud of him. He came to us with the concept. We helped him flush it out, get his name, how to create the description, how to do all the show notes. And now he's going to help shoot 5 episodes, and he'll put out his first one probably in a few weeks.
Nice. Marcus, we have a final question we like to ask people. But of all our guests, you might be the toughest one to answer this because you're such an open book. So imagine, you know, a lot of people on our show, maybe they don't know you so well, and they've learned a lot about you in this episode. We'd like to ask people, what's something that people, a lot of people wouldn't expect or don't know about you?
Something that people wouldn't expect or wouldn't know about me is that I have a huge love for like the arts and theater. So I love Broadway. I love Family Opera, Wicked, Cats.
What's your favorite one?
Family Opera.
Okay. Mine's Les Mis.
Les Mis is good. I also like Wicked a lot. Wicked's a close second. Also, I'm a big lover of the arts, going to art museums, looking at pictures. And also, people wouldn't know, I'm a really, really big lover of history. I like looking at things like the dinosaurs. I was watching something called the 10 deadliest beasts, like Megalodon's number one and Tyrannosaurus Rex and the huge crocodile. It was like 7 times the size of our biggest crocodile today and all this other stuff, this huge scorpion. I mean, so I'm kind of into history like that, and then the arts and going to museums. And then I'm also big into going to Broadway musicals and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So one of the places people might run into you is at a museum or at a play.
Correct.
Another way people can get in touch with you if they want to, you know, hire you out as a speaker, do some coaching or consulting or something like that. What's the best way?
A couple different ways. One, you can go to our app. We have the Marcus Ogden app, MarcusOgden. If you have an Apple phone or an Android, go to your app store, type in my name, and boom, you can download it. It's a free app. We have exclusive content. You can connect with our podcast there and our website. You can send me an email, marcus@marcusogden.com, or you can just go to our website, www.marcusogden.com. Email us, go to our website, download our app, connect with us. We love to talk to you.
Those will all be in the show notes.
Yeah. Marcus, I think I can't imagine somebody embodying what authenticity truly means more than you. You showcase the potential of everything that word means, not just the abstract idea of it. Thanks so much for being on the show.
You're awesome, Marcus.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me. Ladies and gentlemen, leave with this. Authenticity creates victory. If you want to be successful in life, authenticity creates victory. The more authentic you are, the more victorious you will be in life. And that is a fact.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.